And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first of what could be many Mondays this year of the aftermath of a Tennessee Titans loss. Joe? We got a lot to get into on the program today. We got people texting us before the show about the coach. We got a whole lot of stuff to talk about today. How are we doing?
Well, I'm pretty tired because on top of all that, I watched one of the most ridiculous games I've ever seen last night. Whoever is up now and who watched that game, my goodness, an all-timer. So before we get into the Titans, I do want to throw out real quick, if you're a Titans fan, you must love that Baltimore. I mean, to me, that's one of the all-time chokes. But it was Derrick Henry's fumble who created it. So
yep.
Does that create any conflict? There's my little question of the day.
Something to
little
ponder.
Side question of the day. What an insane game.
I would
game.
Say yes for me.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit conflicted.
A little bit conflicted. Like, yeah. You wish it was anybody but
I
him
feel bad.
Who choked,
for Henry.
Choked yeah. that game away. Yeah.
I mean,
like if Hopkins did, you would have been, well, whatever, sure.
Yeah.
He had an incredible catch, by the way.
Sure did. He just poked that one out of there, and I was like, man, there must just be, you know how we talk about here in Nashville, like the snow bubble? Or it's like we just got this bubble that lives above us that just, the snow never comes. Good football players. Other than Derrick Henry, it's just like, well, nothing ever happens here. And then they go somewhere else and immediately just start producing. It's amazing.
Just doing, yeah. Yeah. Derrick Henry is just, I mean, like, Derrick Henry.
He's a unicorn.
He, you know, that's a tough loss. I still actually am 100% confident in my Super Bowl pick.
Yeah, they're going
to the
be
Ravens.
Fine.
They're now, the Bills are great, too. But, like, Derrick Henry might, like, he might be the all-time rusher. He might freaking do it, man.
He's got not about slowing down.
He's got about 6,000 more yards to go. Like, I'm not going to. It's ridiculous.
I mean,
it's unbelievable.
What did he end up
awesome.
With last night? 180? Somewhere around right there?
170 like, something last I heard, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's looks like he's going to be right near 2,000 again. Like, it's unbelievable. I watched him break that first touchdown run last night. Joe was just like, okay, he's still Derrick Henry. Good
there
to know.
There he is. Yeah.
Good to know.
So that was a nice – also, of course, you know, again, the way it ended in the game, insane. Insane game, but also – it was one of those, hey, if you're a Titans fan who is now staring at the prospect of a horrific 2025 season here, watch some players that used to play for the Tennessee Titans who are still great.
Well, yes. On the Titans front, we got a lot to discuss today. We're going to get into Brian Callahan because I just thought he had a horrible day yesterday. I thought he was awful. And then he got up in the post-game press conference and started talking about stuff and apparently doesn't know a rule, which is a huge problem. So we're going to get into that a little bit later in the show as well. So my general takeaway is from the game yesterday is this. Denver tried, I don't know, 5-6 times to hand you the football game yesterday, and you just kept handing it back to them. That's my general takeaway. Like, you know, I thought Bo Nix was awful. I thought he was terrible yesterday in that game.
It wasn't a good start for him.
You know, he made that rollout to the left, where he just throws a jump ball and Roger McCreary makes a great play on it and picks him off. You know, Jeffrey Simmons, you know, besides the penalty that we'll get into a little bit later, I thought looked good, was explosive yesterday, got after the quarterback. Like, the Titans defense, for the most part, hung in there and did pretty well. And again, here we are, Joe, and I understand it, you know, it didn't take long to figure out that Denver's defense is really, really good. But here we are again, talking about some of the same themes of last year, right? Of, my goodness, the Titans sure did have a whole lot of penalties out there. And, oh, look, the Titans didn't score a touchdown in a game. And, oh, look, the Titans scored 9 points in the first half and then only scored 3 in the second half. Like, it just feels like Groundhog Day from some of the same stuff we were talking about a year ago, Joe.
Yeah, it's, like you said, the biggest thing – beyond Callahan, I think Callahan is probably the story of the day and not the story you want if you're the Titans, if you're a Titans fan. I guess unless you're a Titans fan who was already totally out on him, then congrats, because he didn't help himself yesterday. But like, the just complete just lack of a lot of things, discipline among them, in a game that, like you said, was absolutely there because Denver came out and was all kinds of a mess, really, in a lot of ways. And I agree. I think that, I mean, look, I guess the biggest takeaway, if you really want to talk about what we've been talking about all summer, what's the most important thing is Cam Ward. I thought it was a pretty good day for him. I came away pretty impressed with him. Not altogether, like those two sacks he took were like, what are you doing? But also the second one was like, wait a minute, there's no quick outlet on this play? Like, what are you doing? But it's a lot of stuff. So, look, Cam Ward, I came away, I guess, so if you want to really go big picture, everybody thinks they're going to stink this year anyway. Well, and it's about Cam Ward. He was pretty good. There's promise there, but there's so much wrong, and offensively in particular, like just – and it's like Denver's good on D, so you knew – you know, like the Titans scoring 12 points doesn't shock me, right?
Right.
Not getting a touchdown, disappointing, doesn't shock me. But the discombobulated nature of way too many plays, too, for the Titans. People seeming to be out of position, out of place. First game, yeah, it's a first game, but you saw too much of that last year, too. And, again, I think that speaks to just not a well-coached enough team, if that's a term. Well-coached enough? Sure.
Well, and you ended up with 13 penalties for 131 yards in the game, which is just – I mean, you can't win in the NFL. The Titans had 133 yards of total offense and 131 yards of penalties. Like, when you've got as many penalty yards as you do offensive yards, that's not a very good formula there. And look, we can talk about some of the calls because I didn't love the first Jarvis Brownlee illegal contact. I thought that was pretty soft. Like,
yeah,
there wasn't. The officials weren't very good yesterday. Me and Ian were talking about that before the show. Like, the amount of times that people had to challenge stuff yesterday because they couldn't get a spot right was ridiculous to me. Like, we got to be better at spotting the football in the National Football League. So I did not think it was a very good day for the officials. But, like, you know, the Jeffrey Simmons play at the end of the game. I'm sorry. You can think that that's soft if you want to, I guess. But that penalty's getting called. Like, there's no reason for Jeffrey Simmons to engage on that play when Cody Barton is driving the guy back 8 yards in the backfield. Like, there's no positive that comes from that if you're Jeffrey Simmons.
It's completely idiotic. And I went and watched, I rewound it a few times, and it's like the whistle is blowing clearly before he can even get there to shove him.
Yeah.
Is it that much of a shove? No, but like, dude, what are you thinking? I mean, at any point in a game, it's stupid. In a close game when you're behind, what? And your guy has him. It's over. And the whistle is blowing, and then you shove. I'm not going to hear anybody complain about the refs with that. Like, they call this all the time now. Like, this is the NFL now. And everybody who plays in it should have known this 10 years ago, let alone now. It's unbelievable.
Well, and again, you know, I talked about the first Brownlee illegal contact. He got called for a pass interference later. You know, Brownlee's good. He has taken a lot of penalties last year, and right now we're off to a start where he's taking a lot of penalties this year, and it didn't seem like he had much of an answer for it yesterday in the post-game press conference, so there's a lot to get into on that front, too. It just, to me, it screamed undisciplined, which when you combine undisciplined and not that talented, that's not good. And what have we talked about all offseason? Yes, their roster is bad. And their roster was bad last year. And everybody's going to look at Will Levis last year and talk about how bad he was. And I agree. Like, that was the primary reason why they weren't very good. But if you're Brian Callahan, your football team needs to display some qualities at some point that would suggest that you are coaching them and coaching them well. And I thought the first game yesterday, I looked at it and I said, well, they got undisciplined penalties all the time out here. 13 penalties for 131 yards. Your offense look, as you said, totally discombobulated. You know, you're at some point completely terrified to call pass plays out there. And then when you should be terrified to call pass plays, you start dropping back on your own goal line. Like, it just, and we're going to get into that too, but I just thought the whole thing, if you are trying to look out there as a Titans fan and say, well, let's look for signs that Brian Callahan doesn't totally suck as a head coach, yesterday was a horrible day for you because he sucked yesterday.
Yeah, it was bad. And again, if you want to break up the coaching, good job. The special teams flip around. Okay. The special teams switch seems to be good. I did think Denard Wilson had a good day.
I did.
I thought it was a well-called defensive game and a well-played, other than those penalties. And Brownlee, I'm with you. The first one was weak. Overall, he's too handsy, and he's also a guy that now people look for. And so, they did more than enough to give you a chance to win the game. The part of the team that is Callahan's baby is just a mess. And, we're going to get into all this stuff, but I will say, too, I don't think Dan Moore is going to have anybody, calling it over like, oh, they finally figured it out, left tackle. It'll be better, but there was some ugly moments there, too. Now, when it's Benito, that's one thing, but I feel like basically everybody he saw, at least at one point, torched him yesterday.
Well, it gets back to the whole some of the comments in the offseason of, he played in the AFC North, and there's TJ Watt, and there's Trey Hendrickson, and there's Myles Garrett, so he's not going to be in that division. It's like, nobody else got any good pass rushers. He's really good, except for against good pass rushers out there.
And they're like, oh, my God, I get to play against Dan Moore.
Yeah. Did not. That's the other thing. And we'll get into this, too, throughout the show. But offensive line, you gave up 6 sacks yesterday. Now, I think a couple of them definitely on the quarterback. And we'll see how much more was on the quarterback. But, again, 6 sacks, and the quarterback got hit 12 times yesterday. Those are very familiar numbers if you watch the Titans over the last couple years.
Yep. And no touchdowns, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So get excited, Titans fans.
Get excited. Here we go.
The season has begun, baby.
I got to say, Ed, real quick. He said, I bet you Callahan's team lost in the offseason.
That's pretty good. We're going to get into the Brian Callahan part of this coming up next. As I said, if you are a Titans fan that was looking for signs that Callahan is not completely awful as a coach, and yesterday was not a great day for you, we'll have more on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
We spent the entire offseason talking about mitigating the sins. When you have a day like today, is that discouraging?
Yeah, I'm just disappointed. I'm disappointed in that. I didn't obviously foresee that being the reason that would make the game really challenging. So, disappointed. I thought we would be better than we were, and we weren't. So we got some things to clean up, and we got to get ready to go for the next one.
That's Brian Callahan in the aftermath of the 20-12 loss for the Denver Broncos, against the Denver Broncos yesterday for the Titans. It's a bad day for Brian Callahan on multiple fronts. As you mentioned, the offense looked discombobulated. I at one point in the game, I was looking around like, I understand you're on the road. You got a rookie quarterback. It's making his first start. You're going up against a really good defense. So there's some natural conservative play calling that will take place when that's the situation. I did reach a point in the game yesterday. I was like, well, you got to be a little less conservative than this. Like, you do have to try at some point to throw the ball. And I thought they just got into too many situations where it was just way too conservative. And then, of course, what everybody's going to talk about today, Joe, is right before halftime, you've got a lead. It's 6-3. There's 47 seconds left in the half, and you're on your own 7-yard line. And all you got to do basically is just turn around, hand the ball off, get to half with a lead. And that's the time of the game where he decides that he's going to try to be aggressive and start throwing the ball. And they drop back 3 times. 2 of them are incomplete. Cam Ward gets sacked and is lucky to not get a safety on the other one. And then Denver scores a touchdown right before the half, and it completely flips the game. Where, again, Denver was not very good. Like, Bo Nix was not very good, and you just basically handed him a touchdown there before the half. I just – those two things with how conservative you were throughout the entirety of the game and then choosing that time to not be conservative, I thought was just ridiculous from Brian Callahan yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I agree that contrast. I could separate out whether you're conservative or not any other part of the game. That's just coaching malpractice.
Yes, it's
on its
own. Terrible. Yeah.
I don't care what else you do the rest of the game. It's coaching malpractice right there. And, you know, if Denver has three timeouts, then you can make the case, well, okay, they're going to burn them all if we just run, and then we're going to have to punt on the end zone, and they're going to have time to get a field goal. So, okay, so it's worth maybe trying to safe pass or two here, try to get a first down. But they had two timeouts. You're up. You run. You go into the halftime with a lead. It's a game management complete fail. And he knew it after the game. And, you know, the defensiveness is starting to show a little bit with Callahan. There's some Callahan-Kaharsky conversations that are just beautiful.
Well, let's play that.
On the horizon here.
We've got that, Ian. It's the first time that I can really remember. I'm sure it probably happened at some point last year with how bad the season was, but not very often.
I don't
remember it all that much. Got a little snarky with Kaharsky yesterday. Here was that exchange between Brian Callahan and PK.
Horizontal passing qualify as aggressive there. What did you see that showed you that throwing the ball sideways was going to get you a lot of?
Did you have the play calls, Paul? Did you see him?
No.
Okay.
What were you expecting out of it?
We had a couple of aggressive play calls down the field, try to work across the field with some of the man coverage they were playing. So we just didn't hold up well enough in protection. They covered it pretty well.
Getting a little snarky there. A little snarky.
Oh, you had some deep shots. That's from your own end zone. And you're surprised your pass protection didn't hold up. That's,
yeah.
Wow.
He might have gotten away with a hold on the safety.
Yeah.
On that
play,
I think, honestly.
I think they did.
More.
What
a
revelation. It's just terrible game management. I mean, there's no excuse. Now, to your point, too, I thought the biggest of all the, you know, the conservative play calling, you know, running it pretty well. There was definitely some interior run stuff that was good in this game. I think that that middle part of the offensive line is gonna mash some people this year. And I thought with fourth and one, you know, kicking the field goal, like, hey, man, I think that's a spot where maybe you get a little more aggressive. But whatever, that one, I can live with really anything else in this game. But that game management gaffe, and, of course, DK saves them and gets them, yeah. I guess really it ends up being a four-point mistake because without that, they don't get the return from DK and the field goal after that. And DK, by
look
the
good.
Way, looked good.
Yep.
So it's a four-point mistake, but really you just got lucked out. It's a touchdown mistake. You gave him a touchdown. It's insane. In a game like that, the way that – it's a 6-3 game. Like,
yeah.
You – congratulations. You have the lead at halftime. Why would you it's
mind-boggling.
It's bothering me all over again.
It's mind-boggling.
That's coaching malpractice right there.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Adam in Portland, to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, I've been saying for 5 months that Bo Nix was not what everybody was saying he was, and I feel really confident in saying that today. What I will say is I didn't know our coach was so dumb, and that's what I knew. Daddy Callahan was overrated. I didn't know Baby Callahan was dumb, and this I learned in week one last year that Will Levis could not be trusted. I learned in week one this year that Brian Callahan can't be trusted. So, I mean, at some point, Bone Fossil looked awesome. Fire this dude and promote that dude. Like, it seems easy, right? Like,
Bones Fossil, head coach, let's go.
This is the first time in I don't know how long that we have a competent special team because our coach doesn't look lost. Oh, my God, dude. And this coach does, man. You would not have given Peyton Manning the green light to start throwing a football at 40 seconds on the five against that defense. Idiot. Like, it's not even that play. It was a bunch of plays like that, dude. Like, just incompetent. I don't get it. These guys teed off on him the whole day. His awesome dad and all that money we spent, y'all couldn't figure out that we need to run the football, to do some type of a – I don't know. You've got to hand it off three times or just let Cam run the ball forward three times right there. Just, I don't know, dude. Yeah, it's going to piss me off again, too. But I'm sitting here like, I was getting palpitations. I'm like, they wouldn't let Tom Brady throw the ball right here. Why are they letting this guy who's never thrown a ball in an NFL game throw the ball right here? So, yeah, he could be fired today, and I'd be totally cool with it.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. We got a lot of that today on the text line. Just go ahead and move on. Let's just go ahead and cut bait after week one.
I can't keep up with the text line
so far. Text line's rolling in today. We appreciate it.
Nor the YouTube chat.
YouTube, too. Thank
By
you
the
guys.
Way, shout out to Abel, who's like, wow, everybody said there's no way the Titans are going to cover, and they cover, and still we're screaming about it all day.
I thought about that like this morning. I was like, I told Ian, I said, if you would have told me the score before the game, 20-12, I would have said, okay, I mean, it's not good, but it's not terrible.
Exactly. That's the problem when everybody's like, well, what does Callahan need to do to save his job? Like, what's the number? I'm like, tell me what it looks like. Because that, if you just like, tell us.
That's a fireable performance yesterday.
Right. Yeah. You know, going in, no, that's not bad. Watching the game, what the hell?
Yeah. Well, there's the coaching decision. And again, like, Denver's offense sucked yesterday. And yeah, some of that has to do with the Titans. Some of that was Bo Nix just making ridiculous decisions. Like, I think he's awful.
He looked bad
yesterday. He's terrible.
Shout out to Adam, because he has been saying it, and I've been sort of in the middle on Nix. Like, yeah, I think you're good, but people calm down. Everybody, they're not winning the AFC West.
They look
they
terrible.
Are not winning the AFC West. Maybe the Chargers are.
We'll see.
Tell you what, Justin Herbert, man.
He looked pretty good.
He did.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill to the program. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, good morning, fellas. But we knew all this, right? Like, we saw all this pan out last year.
I never saw Brian Callahan coach a game last year like he did yesterday, in my opinion. But I do not believe that at all. Yesterday was atrocious, but go ahead, sorry.
But there's a bunch of lead-ups to this. Like, we know what this guy's capable of, and I called in a couple weeks ago and was saying, hey, I don't think he's prepping enough for the Broncos. And now you can kind of see why I feel that way. I felt like the necessity to go to air with the idea, because this guy is a liability. And there was elements of it last year, and he's just doing it again with, you know, half new players. And I feel like he's just got to be more accountable. If he's going to win over that locker room and want Jeffrey Simmons and all these other people to be accountable for mistakes, he's got to go up there and be the most accountable as a leader of the team. And guys, as Tony Romo says, I'm just frustrated and disappointed. Tighten up.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it. We'll have a lot more on the Brian Callahan front coming up next. We will get into his explanation on the Elik Io Manor play that was astounding yesterday. Coming up next as well, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Mondays were made for Macero. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football action from queso to kickoffs. This is how Macero does game night. Macero Football Mondays in 12 South. Don't miss a snap. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. They lose 20-12 yesterday in Denver, and they drop to 0-1. On the season. So, we've talked about Callahan, the in-game management, and how that drive, particularly at the end of the half, just was mystifying in terms of some of the decision-making that he made. So, the Elik Io Manor play yesterday where the elbow, I think, gets down in the field. It was pretty close to the white line, but I thought it got down in the field. Let's just play the explanation that Brian Callahan gave in the post-game press conference yesterday as to why the Titans did not try to challenge and review that catch for Elik Io Manor. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say in the immediate aftermath of the game yesterday.
Is there a challenge on the Io Manor play where they moved out of bounds on the sideline and it looked like the elbow hit inbounds first?
Yeah, you got to get a foot inbounds too. Which we didn't have a clean look at whether his foot was down as well. An elbow doesn't equal 2 feet, so his foot would have had to come down as well. We didn't have a clean look, so the call from upstairs was that, you know, it wasn't worth challenging.
So that's what Brian Callahan had to say about that play after the game yesterday. And Joe, I watched the game. I turned on the YouTube press conference in my living room. And first off, it took Brian Callahan longer than normal to get there. So I was just sitting there.
It was
like
almost
waiting.
Findable how long it took.
It took a while. And he finally got out there, and I heard him say that. And the first thing that went through my head was, oh, my God, did they change the rule? Like, how did I not know this? Like, it's always been, hey, one knee equals 2 feet, or elbow equals 2 feet, or butt cheek equals 2 feet if you get it in bounds on a catch. And I was like, oh, my God, the NFL. What are they doing? Why are they changing the rule here? Why are we making it more difficult to get a catch? So then I just started looking it up. I was like, I guess I need to find this. And I couldn't find it. I was like, well, everything I'm saying tells me that this is the same rule it's always been, and that you don't need to have another foot down when your elbow lands in bounds, and apparently the head coach of the Titans doesn't know that. Now, I just continued to look, and finally, Kuharski, among others, came out with the actual rule book and said that that's not correct, and that one elbow equals 2 feet, and that that's a catch for the Tennessee Titans. So, I guess my question to you, Joe, is what do you make of Callahan's answer there? And how concerning is it that apparently he doesn't know that rule in the aftermath of all this?
He's saying that, and I'm like, and that's the first thing I thought of. I actually thought of the Jonnu Smith touchdown at the Ravens in the playoff game where the butt, you know. And so I'm like, oh, okay, so is it the upper? So it's if it's part of your upper body, then you need a foot too. I didn't know that. Huh. And, you know, NFL catch rules are, I mean, look, go back again. Go back to whatever year it was when Calvin Johnson had a winning touchdown in Chicago and signed the ball and gave it to a kid in the stands, and but he didn't dot the I in Calvin, and so they said it was incomplete. Like, the NFL catch issues have been severe over the years, okay?
They have.
But, yeah, I was like, well, he must know. Okay.
Yeah, he's head coach of the NFL. He must know.
And actually, it's funny because you said you looked it up. So I did like the Google, which, you know, now if you do something with Google, it's like it just goes to AI.
Yeah, you get me
and
real
AI
careful.
Said what he said. I'm like, huh, no kidding. And it's the same thing. Then the rule, then people start throwing the actual rule out. Kuharski actually does some work for once in his life and finds the actual rule. And I'm like, this is an NFL head coach.
Yeah. Yeah. It's mind numbing to me. And now, like, if you're on the team, and you hear him say that, and it's like, oh, good, so the coach doesn't know the rule. Look, I saw some people talking about this. I think it was Herndon who said this yesterday, among others. Say whatever you want about Vrabel, all right? But he knew the rule book. Yeah, he knew the rule book really well. And I heard that answer from Callahan yesterday and was just like, oh, my God. Like, he didn't know the rule. And I'm reading through Kuharski's piece right now. And I agree. Like, I'll read a couple graphs from Kuharski's piece. Quote, will he acknowledge this with the team? He's going to be asked about it on Monday by us. He has no choice but to admit he blew it. Talking about the rule and not knowing what the rule was there. I am unbelievably fascinated to see what his answer to this today is going to be.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Because I will say beyond the other stuff, like we referred to, I really don't think he ever had, like, defensive moments last year the way he did yesterday. And usually when that happens, a coach is feeling it, right? Feeling the heat. But, I mean, this is the first game. Like, he first of all, of all the things he messed up yesterday, another thing is you go to that presser yesterday and you fall on the sword. You absolutely fall on the sword and say, hey, man, I got to be better than this. And you need to – I mean, getting snippy about, did you know the play calls? I don't care what the play calls were. You're at your five with the lead, and there's zero reason with your pass protection, with their defense, with all – let me list out 10 things. There's zero reason to do what you did, and he decided to get defensive about it after the game. So I'll be interested today to see – because he should. He should start his presser and say, look, I screwed that up.
Yeah.
And that's on me. I mean, like – Amy Adams Strunk knows it's on you already, man. Like, it's better to admit it and take the accountability than it is to start getting defensive. Coaches get defensive like that. Usually, it means the end is not that far away. I'm not saying that's going to happen in season, but
it's feeling it.
Yeah.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Kenny the Mailman to the program. Kenny, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hello, good friends. Got a quick question for you. Through the years, I don't think I've been one that will call in and rant and rave and just be out of control calling for firing. Would y'all agree with that?
I would totally agree. Yes.
Well, I was ranting and raving and calling for firings last night. And here it is. Coach Callahan seems like a very nice man that speaks well and knows how to carry himself, but he also seems like a person that got a job 6 years too early because of his name, and he's unqualified because – the number one thing, if you don't know the rules, then you make a decision like right before halftime. But then remember this. They almost steal a game by recovering a fumble on a punt. And, yeah, we all wanted a touchdown. But if you just call quit hitting running plays and stay in field goal range, you have a chance to steal a game. Their tackle goes out of the game, and they say, hey, let's call some long play action passes that get two long sacks that get out of field goal range. And you just shake your head because you're going to see decisions like that over and over from a coach that's not qualified to be there and, frankly, an owner that's picked him that isn't qualified to be an owner. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate it. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Kenston to the program. Kenston, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
I don't want to say too much of what's already been said, but looking at this man and going back, you know,
I think we lost Kenston there. We'll try to get Kenston back on.
Did they catch you? Kenston!
Got me?
Hey, you back.
Okay, here we go.
There we go.
All right, yeah. Just saying that, not going to spend too much time talking about what's already been said, but, I, you know, the Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan administration, from moving on from Vrabel to every time I turn on Baltimore and still see, you know, Derrick Henry killing it, and then yesterday's fiasco that everybody's talking about, it's just, this guy's in over his head. You know, I want to see what happens. But as somebody said on Twitter yesterday, John Gruden, wherever you at, don't get too comfortable. Next year, you're a Tennessee Titan.
You're a Titan, and you're a Titan. John Gruden will not be back in the NFL, my friend. He'll be in the college game somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about Alabama last week. Maybe the groomers can start back in the
I mean, in all seriousness, John Gruden will be a college head coach. He's not going to be an NFL head coach.
I would agree. Yeah, I mean, look.
That'd be funny, though.
Yesterday, I look at it, and there's still 16 games left this year. They could come out against the Rams next week and look really good. It's hard for me to buy, Joe, that he's just going to turn this around at some point this year. And I'm not trying to overreact to week one. You know, I said at the end of last year that go ahead and fire him and restart this clock. They didn't do that, so I'm giving an open mind to what it's going to look like throughout the year, and I still believe the most important part of all of this is Cam Ward. However, you can't just be totally incompetent everywhere else and then keep your job because Cam Ward makes progress this year, right? Like, yesterday was a huge red flag on the Brian Callahan part. And now his charge is to make sure that something like that doesn't happen again throughout the course of this year. But yesterday, like, it was not good on the Brian Callahan front. And it's hard to have confidence after watching something like that. Like, at some point, you are what your body of work tells you that you are. And right now, he is 3-15 as a head coach. And far too often throughout that entire process, and we can talk about roster, and we can talk about quarterback play, far too often, they have looked like an unbelievably poorly coached football team, and they did again yesterday.
Yeah, and to Kenny's point, a couple of things. Excuse me. Oh, my gosh. Sorry, it says hazelnut in the coffee. I need some vanilla. A couple things that Kenny brought up there. This job 6 years to it, that's an interesting point. And I know, and I get it, like, you know, obviously his dad and everything. I mean, look, but when it comes down to it, I mean, he was older than some of these McVay tree people getting coaching jobs, and some of them have worked out great. Somebody texted. Yeah. I can't keep up with the text, but somebody texted, of course, we get the McVay tree guy who's not good, you know, typical Titans. But honestly, like, Callahan getting this job, this was not some out of left field hire. So I get what Kenny's saying, but actually, like, the play calling head coach coming from a successful team as the OC with the head coach calling plays, like, it was – like, on paper, it made sense. And I do agree. I think the before half thing was by far the worst. But, man, that sequence, those two plays, when you get that break. And I think the first one is on Cam Ward. Like, you can't take that sack. But the second, like, try to get 4 yards running the ball.
Yeah.
I saw nothing easy access for him. And so you just – that was atrocious, too. But to your point, yeah, it's just – I think that was the worst coach game of his career, and then he compounds it with trying to explain it very poorly, not knowing the rules. And I really didn't think, because I'm all for the whole idea of Cam Ward, you know, you got it, and Cam Ward, and if you're going to develop him, and You have to have that continuity and all that stuff, but this has really put that in one game has put that in doubt.
Well, I said it in the offseason. Callahan, if things went poorly, was going to be the first one to get blamed. I did not anticipate something like yesterday.
He earned it.
Like
he earned this, like, one.
And my point was basically whether it's his fault or not. If the results don't come, year two as the head coach, guess who they ain't blaming? They ain't blaming the quarterback. They're going to be blaming you. And that was kind of my general point. I think that stands moving forward. But, I mean, yesterday you made it pretty easy to blame you, right? Like, it's pretty easy now to look at it and say, well, I mean, if anything goes wrong with this team now, it's just like, well, it's this guy. We got to get him out.
Yeah. You had a terrible day. And, again, the offense is your baby, and that's what let everybody down, not to mention your game management and your inability to know the rules of this game, for which you get paid a tremendous amount of money to coach.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We will continue to get into the Brian Callahan part of this. What do we make of Cam Ward and his NFL debut? We'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Cam, how did you have your speed left there in the pocket of the first NFL game, considering the rush that they brought to the game?
I felt good, honestly. I felt alive again, just finally being alive, knowing that it's not a preseason game, it's a real football game. But, I mean, the rush that you get, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's something that, you know, you wouldn't want to trade for the world. So, you know, I'm blessed to be in this position. I'm blessed to have guys around me who believe in me. And we just really trying to get better. So, you know, we just got to continue to take it 1 week at a time. But, I mean, it feels good to get out there.
That's Cam Ward after the game yesterday. Titans fall 20-12 against the Denver Broncos. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Appreciate thoughts. Text line is popping today, as is the YouTube chat. So keep them coming.
Let me know, since my computer just crashed. 7-3-7-4-2-5. You guys crashed my computer. You're so mad.
It's our phone number. I do want to read this text from Trevor. Callahan should have spent the offseason studying the rule book instead of coordinating sack races and playing Pictionary. I knew we were going to get that at some point today.
This is a low T alert.
Okay, the guys. The low T Titans on full display yesterday.
Pin the tail on the Jaguar.
Anybody got a frisbee? Let's get out there and play.
Oh, God. And this whole sin. Why do coaches do this stuff? Sins. Whatever. What is it? Self-inflicted negatives.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
Just brutal. Brutal, brutal. What did you make of Cam Ward in his debut yesterday? The numbers are not good. I mean, he went 12 of 28, which is not what you're looking for 112 yards. Now, he did not throw a pick. And I think his quarterback rating was 54.5. I thought there were times that he did a really good job of keeping himself out of trouble in the game. I mean, the first drive, he made an unbelievable play. Like, he was moving up in the pocket, looked like he was going to take off the middle, and then dumped it off to Pollard on the play, which was a 29-yarder, which coincidentally, I believe, was their longest play of the game by a significant margin. But who knew at that time that that's what it was going to be. Overall, what did you make of Ward in his NFL debut?
The thing about Cam Ward that is very clear is he has a poise and a calm about him. We've talked some about this, but like I think you definitely saw it yesterday. He's a gamer, to be totally cliche, but like I really like his demeanor, and I liked his. I mean, look, he was getting after people. There was a play, I don't remember which receiver it was. It might have been DK, but it was like, you know, man versus zone. You keep running your route or you sit down in zone. He got right after him and said, you got to cut that in.
Yep.
You know, it seems to me like he really has a good command of the offense. It seemed like he changed some protections successfully before the snap. And I really like his calm, and I like his talent. There was another play where, like you said, the play you said was very good. There was a play where he just, you know, went back. He's like, what are you doing? But he got himself that room and then made a big throw. That was probably their second biggest play of the day to who I forget. I would say that's an encouraging start amid a lot of bad stuff for the offense from him. But like you said, some of those sacks are on him. Like, there's some rookie stuff. Some of those sacks are on him. you know, the, when they get into field goal range. But then it also, like, it was such a bad coaching day. It's like I'm hesitant. Like, last year we kind of concluded, well, yeah, with Levis doing some of this stuff, it's really on Levis. I think Nick Wright tweeted yesterday, like, that game management from Callahan at the end of the half was worse than anything Levis did last year. I don't know if I agree with that, but it's like, I also, like, considering the brutal offensive coaching game that the Titans just had, I feel, you know, I feel, I guess, better about Cam Ward in a way, because it's like, man, like, are they helping this kid enough? And, of course, that question, if it prevails, if it persists, that's really going to expedite Callahan getting out of here. I don't know why you asked me about Cam Ward, and I keep talking about Brian Callahan, but
it's hard to separate.
It's hard to, you know, it's hard to get away from that the day after that performance.
Yeah,
but I like him. I still think it's like, you know, it's, again, it's like the accuracy. There were some drops. There were also a couple of them were like, whew, that's coming in about 110 miles an hour, and you didn't necessarily need to throw it like that. Ridley had a couple, though, that you have to have.
Yeah, Ridley was not good yesterday. He ended up, what do you have, 4 catches for 27 yards. Hey, look, he got matched up against Surtain a lot, and you knew that that probably wasn't going to go well.
And when he was matched up on Surtain, the numbers tell us that he did zero.
Yeah.
He just was erased from the game.
Oh, and that's what that guy does. That's what Surtain does. So we knew that if Ridley got up against him, who else was going to step up and make some plays? You know, Gunnar Helm had the one play. I think he had 16 yards. He had the other play that looked like a catch, and then I guess Sean Payton challenged it, and then that got overturned. There were so many challenges in the game that I couldn't keep up at one point.
And then there was one that should have been challenged.
There was one that should have been challenged. It wasn't, so you got that. Like, Lockett didn't do anything. He had one target on the day. So
I think one thing we did learn yesterday is Aya Manor is – he's a starter.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's going to play. And he
had 7 targets for him yesterday.
He had ups and downs overall. You can see it with him.
Yeah, he ends up with 2 catches for 13 yards on 7 targets. Now, probably should have had another catch tossed in there, too. So I have to keep in mind.
But you got to have, you know, 4 feet, tap them twice.
You gotta sit
and then also you have to do a head spin on the grass, and then you're
crawl
in.
Crawl off the field with the ball in possession, apparently.
Do the worm.
I mean, overall, it's a bad day for the offense. Again, the numbers for Cam Ward are not good. I think if you watch the game, like I think some of the decision-making that he had was good with the football in terms of keeping it out of trouble. I thought that was good. I think clearly a couple at least, and maybe 3 of the 6 sacks were on him. Like he's got to know that he doesn't have all that much time. You can't just keep drifting back in the pocket, and he got smoked on a couple plays. But again, I read off the numbers earlier. 6 sacks, 12 quarterback hits for the Denver Broncos yesterday. So again, we're right back in discussion of, all right, I understand it's Denver's front. We talked about that heading into the game. It's one of the elite units, one of the elite defensive fronts in all of football. But not very good pass protection yesterday for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, and obviously you lose Latham and it gets real ugly over on that side, and the lack of tackle depth is glaring. Again, the Titans are far from alone in that boat. That's a big loss. But yeah, Dan Moore, I don't think we're going to be talking about Dan Moore the way we talked about his 2 most recent predecessors, okay?
I would agree.
He's better than them, but again, being better than them is really nothing to write home about, and it was pretty disappointing to me. Just at times he looked just
overwhelmed.
Slow-footed.
Yeah, he looked overwhelmed out there. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in our buddy Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning. Not a good morning for y'all, though, is it?
I mean,
I have a feeling this may be a constant theme this year.
I like reading text messages, so it's a hell of a great morning for us.
It is. That's true.
Yeah. you may be right on your point when you made this may be beginning of the end for Callahan. Y'all heard me say several times, I'd like to see Callahan stay here. I'm trying to stay a fan of this guy, Joe, but he keeps letting me down. He keeps showing the inexperience, the lack of play calling experience when he was with the Bengals. Still wondering, you know, when he's going to rise up and come around and do that. I don't think that's going to happen for him. Yesterday may be a defining moment for him, man. It may be he is who he is. And he may end up getting out of here. I mean, like y'all said, the offensive line let him down. Denver's got a big-time front. I told y'all that. big time defense. I still think they're a year away with Bo Nix at quarterback, but man, they have got a team and a defense over there. But yeah, look, I'm gonna give the Titans credit. Big Jeff and them played a heck of a game, Joe. I mean, they kept them in the game as much as they could. Denver struggled on offense a little bit too. So, I mean, but you can't keep that defense coming out there on the field. They're going to get tired, wore down, and frustrated. Hence, you're going to lose games like that and stuff. Callahan's going to have to find some offense out of Cam struggles. And Ridley had some plays. He should have been catching the ball, Joe, like you said. And it really killed him that they should have put points on the board down there on Denver's end on that muff point punt.
Yeah.
And at least got a field goal or something out of it. Might have changed the momentum. You never know. But, hey, y'all have a good day. Hey, Robbie, your Green Bay Packers look good, man.
They did.
I mean, they look awfully good, man. I may have to change my Super Bowl pick. I had Tampa in there. We struggled against Atlanta yesterday. But, Joe, Robbie, y'all watch out for my Raiders now. They're going to be good too, man. Hey, y'all have a good day, man.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate
it. Mark.
We got a lot more thoughts to get into on the Titans front. We will continue the discussion all show long on Brian Callahan and his debacle of a coaching job yesterday. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.